Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
And welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Weekly topics focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, is the host. We engage experts and individuals with experience in various subjects or disciplines, as well as you, our listening audience, in provocative conversations. This show serves as a catalyst for sharing relevant information within our online community. We welcome you to join us tonight. When a man and a woman form a relationship, there is something special. When they break up, there is social and emotional turbulence. In the wake of parents separating children, their children become victims, of their separation. Society often picks up the tab for the cost of failed relationships involving divorce and even separations, and the family institution and marriage become weakened. There is hope for building, improving, and sustaining healthy relationships between men and women. An examination of male-female relationships. The number is 657-383-0944. We welcome you to call and join us in our dialogue tonight, our live dialogue. Again, 657-383-0944. Peradventure that you are a new listener, we want you to know that this is an educational lecture series and is intended to provide information that is useful and informative. As a part of that, we offer a monologue at the beginning of the show to somewhat frame the context of our conversation. And for the next maybe 10, 12 minutes, we'll be sharing with you that monologue and invite you to join us in live dialogue conversation. Again, you can call us here at 657-383-0944. We welcome you to join us. Present your questions, your comments. We only ask that you keep it relevant to our topic, as well as that you be respectful to the listening audience and to any host or anyone that is speaking and things of that nature. All right, having said that, we're going to get right into it. October 5th, 2017. We break up to make up. examination of male and female relationships. Genesis, the first chapter, 27 verse, reads in the King James Version of the Bible, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them." St. Mark, 10th chapter, and the 9th verse says very simply, "What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." I want to talk from three areas relative to relationships, how they come about, and how they perhaps end or even sustain themselves. First area is physical attraction. Then we want to talk about emotional attraction. And lastly, procreation, intimacy. And in the process of doing so, I hope that you, our listening audience, and those who will archive the show later will have an understanding of where we're coming from relative to this particular topic, because it is a very serious thing. Physical attraction. Physical attractiveness is the degree to which a person's physical features are considered to be aesthetically pleasing or beautiful. Often the term implies sexual attraction. There are many factors which influence one's personal attraction to another person, with physical aspects being one of them. Physical attraction itself includes a universal idea or perception that is pretty common to all human cultures, as well as aspects that are culturally and socially dependent on the culture that you're a member of, along with individual subjective preferences, specific things that you like. Well, in many cases, humans subconsciously attribute positive characteristics such as intelligence, honesty, the physical appearance of a person, and these are the things, things that they code to determine if they are attracted to you. Some research was done in the United States, and it was found that the association between intelligence and physical attractiveness is stronger among men than among women. Interestingly enough, a person's physical characteristics can signal cues to one's ability to make certain type of babies that are healthy and how many babies they possibly can make. The latter factors into reproductive success on part of an individual. What are my goals here? Furthering the representation of one's own self and person in population or in the world. Men on average tend to be attracted to women who are shorter than they are, have a youthful appearance, and exhibit features such as a symmetrical face, full breast, full lips, and a low waist-hip ratio. Women, on average, tend to be attracted to men who are taller than they are, display a higher degree of facial symmetry, masculine features or facial features, and who have broad shoulders, relatively narrow waist, and a V-shaped torso. These are some of the typical factors that we see when people talk about physical attraction. Now let's talk about the emotional attraction for a second. And I'm going to relate this to really this idea of breaking up to make up. Emotional attraction, the desire to get to know somebody and as a result of their personality instead of solely their physical appearance. This is a little deeper, you see. If someone in your life becomes so close to you that you feel like you can discuss anything with them, including topics that cause intense emotions, you are emotionally attached to that person, and you are comfortable with sharing with them. Emotional attraction makes you feel included and accepted in another person's life. Talking to someone about your deepest desires, thoughts, fears, needs, indicates that, hey, we got us an emotional connection here. You might feel that connection early in a relationship, such as on your first date. Sometimes when people work in the same work environment, they may not start out that way, but because they spend so much time with each other, these type of things develop. When you grow up in the same neighborhood, the same thing, because you can identify with some of the same issues. You talk about how things make you feel or your deepest aspirations, things you want to do in the future. You want this person to really get to know you and understand who you are and what makes you tick. According to Dr. Willard Harley Jr., he wrote a book entitled His Needs, Her Needs. A female does the latter in terms of wanting to real, get real close to you and figure out how you tick. They do that through deep conversation, whereas a male usually does that through sharing their activities and what they do. In ancient African cultures, this was called wooing, where the young man comes in and the young lady demonstrates her best talents and skills, her abilities, and he in turn responds by showing what he's capable of doing. All right, now let's talk about procreation very briefly, and then we're going to have a message from the 70s, 40-some years ago. Because if you ask me where we are today with this issue of breaking up and some of the frictions and tensions in relationship, we can date this thing back to at least four decades ago. And I think that is relevant for us to be honest about that, okay? But first, let me just talk about briefly procreation from intimacy. In other words, making babies. How these babies get here? Most often, physical intimacy transpires between males and females prior to any serious consideration or thought about lifelong commitment through marriage. It is uncommon for individuals to hook up and say, we're not going to have sexual or physical intimacy until marriage in this present day and time. And I would argue within the last 40, 50 years, this has become a pattern. It's become socially accepted in their teenage years to begin engaging in one of the most critical functions of humanity. And that is producing offspring. That is a very serious process that should not be played with and treated like a toy. This production of offspring will continue the evolution of mankind in the world. Now, the Spinners and Betty Wright and the Stylistics tells us a few things. For a second, let's hear what the Stylistics says about a lesson and about why we break up, what's going on. And then we're going to open up our phone lines here.
Oh, heaven knows I tried, but
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Doctor. 657-383-0944. Get in now. Unless you have been around at least a day and a wake up, you might not fully appreciate what the stylistics are talking about there. But I believe we got some men on the land who kind of understand that. They've been around. They know how we got to where we are today with these relationships. Pastor Ricky Waller and looks like Brother Outcast is here with us tonight. Good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, good evening. All right. How you doing?
All right.
Doctor?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We're backing into this conversation because if you want to understand why our babies are messed up, we got to appreciate the fact that we, and I'm talking about me too, our generation and a generation preceding us, we missed out on some very important things, some very important lessons. And one of those was to be responsible and careful about how we make babies if you can't take care of them. You heard my monologue. Correct me. Where did I go wrong, Joe?
Nowhere.
Okay.
You're on point.
Well, praise God, praise God. There are a couple of questions that we posed tonight for the show, and I hope that at the end of the day we will kind of. I'm certainly looking to grow and learn here as well. There's a family I'm working with that is in bereavement. We're helping them prepare to funeralize their loved one this weekend. And as I was out and I was talking to some people, it was very interesting to me that you had at least two or three generations of children. Some are now in their 40s, some in their 20s, and then you had some younger children. And what was interesting to me is how it seemed as though everybody was on the same level almost. Is there something, Pastor Waller, is there something odd about that?
Yeah, you say all was on the same page. Just about.
They're on the same level. On the same level of,
okay.
Yeah, of understanding.
Okay.
You understand
okay.
What I'm trying to say?
All right, now I'm with you. Yeah.
You care to comment on that?
It was something very powerful about that, you know, I had to gather myself when you was talking about it. And when you made known of making babies, and especially before marriage. And
right.
In my come up, as a little boy, with all the guys that I grew up with, and our parents, most mm-hmm. of our parents had been married.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time we continued to grow up,
mm-hmm.
most of them were divorced. You know, what I got out of that was marriage might not be too hip, you know. That's just what I got out of it. And as I continued to grow up, I discovered something else.
Okay. Sure that
I didn't want to be married.
Hmm.
You know, you have to be mindful of what's in front of others, you know. And, you know, didn't know how extraordinary that a woman really was or anything like that.
Okay.
So, you know, my first kid was in 1979.
Okay.
You know, and so, you know, it's very interesting that you're bringing this up, because when I recall and recognize the power of it, and I got three kids.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I have three different women, man. So
okay.
I'm not a good example in that lineup, you see. But again, didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't know much about God or anything like that. And if I can just come on up to speed, I mean, look at it now. When I discovered and found out how precious a woman really is and how much she do, you know, a man that, you know, is something like you said earlier that you can talk to, that you can share things with him because of togetherness. When two become one, I mean, that's a powerful statement all by itself. But I'm just going to tune in and listen to some more, man. It's amazing that you brought that up. And I'm going to fail you in that area, brother, early on, I must admit. Yeah, man. I was not a green man. Look here, brother.
Okay,
thank you for the release.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, no, now I know you have experience, and so here's the thing. You know, we talk about male and female relations because that's how children are made. That's the only way they can be made. And we have made them, and many times we've done them really not intending to, or we didn't really know what we were doing. We kind of learned, and some of us got it together, you know, and we did the best we could. But that doesn't mean just because I did the best I could, and if it wasn't good enough to keep him out of trouble, out of scrapes, and to keep him alive, is that good enough? That's the question that we're really trying to get at. And the truth of the matter is, when you look at what the stylist said, there was a powerful message in that song, and that mm-hmm. is there's a huge breakdown in communication. You know, we get together when we get mad at each other, right?
Right.
We break up. We separate mm-hmm. for a little while, then all of a sudden we become physically lonely, and we want some attention, and we become used to what the social attraction or the emotional attraction we had there, right? But somehow we can't
right.
figure out how to keep from breaking up and having this problem. So we, out of pain and passion, we get together, and before we know it, bam, there go the next baby.
That is. And that's where the divorce came in.
Absolutely. No, you're hitting it. You're hitting it. So what has happened is some people knew that the morally acceptable thing to do is to go to the courthouse or have a preacher to hook you up, put you together, right? But when you can't figure out why you break up to make up, eventually and sometimes this thing just get outright violent, man. That's why domestic violence laws are so strong now, because people literally treat other human beings like animals and seek to destroy them out of frustration and anger. And I would argue that it's largely because within the relationship there was not a healthy communication. But I'm going to go a step further to say, gentlemen, the communication has to be within you first. You have to be able to talk to yourself. I know that sounds crazy. And be at peace with yourself before you can become one with anyone else. Am I wrong about that?
You're sure right about that. Most definitely.
I mean,
if you're not in peace with yourself, I mean, how are you going to be in peace with the other person?
Absolutely.
I just don't see it.
Yeah. And what has happened here socially for particularly African-American males, and if we go back during the era of the 60s and the 70s, where economically and politically it was real difficult, they couldn't articulate to their female counterpart what it was they were really trying to uphold and who they were trying to be. So it became difficult for them. So when the female said, well, let me help you, I'll step out a little bit and I'll take on a little. No, you sit down, I'm the man. And we began to subconsciously try to shut them down. You understand what I'm saying? And in effect, what we do is we cause them to become angry. Then they shut down on communicating with us. Can I talk to somebody for a second? I mean, at the end of the day, what you have is children looking at that. So a little dude,
that's right.
Look at, think the way you deal with a woman is you put her in her place. You tell her, go sit down and be quiet. Wait till I tell you to talk, right? And
right.
You know, you physically accost her and overcome and have your way with her, and she loves you then, because that's all she wants. She just wants somebody to put their hands on her. Talk to me, somebody.
I don't know about that one. That's not good.
No, it's an unhealthy pattern, is it not? And so,
without a doubt.
I want to go back to one aspect that we started with in the monologue, and the text says in Genesis, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female. I wonder sometimes how well people fully understand what it means to be a male and what it means to be a female. Now, I know today there's a political correctness that has to make room for people to identify themselves outside of those two contexts. But since the beginning of creation and human experience, there's only been two that I know of that God himself intentionally put out there, and that's male and female. Now,
right.
Interesting, Pastor. You're going to be a male all your life, right?
That's just the way it is.
To your death. Now, you might not identify yourself as a male, but you have masculine reproductive organs that mature and grow over time. The question is, what do you do with those, and how do you use those that represent manhood? And I'm convinced that God intended for both male and female to grow into man and woman. But something happened along the way where somebody missed an important lesson. So now all we can do is break up and try to make up and try to fix up. And at the end of the day, all is mess up. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes that don't work either, man. I mean,
it really does.
When I've seen all them, you know, all the guys I grew up with, and when I talk about the percentage is very high in the realm of divorce, man. And I mean, thank God for the ones who carried it all the way. You know, done just what the Word of God says. You know, what God joined together that no man put asunder, no man separated. You know, there was a few that carried that out. And I thank God for them. But by being so early on, and when we looked around and, you know, we would go to the community center and whoever house that we went over to,
you know,
hey, they got the same last name as the guy, but he's not there, you know.
Watch out now.
And,
watch out now.
That was going on, man. It was a lot of that going on. So it happened, and so I felt like marriage wasn't cool to me, you know, because I didn't know any better. And apparently, I don't know, they didn't know any better either. For some reason, when they got a divorce like that. But again, I didn't know,
you know
why they, none of that.
Right. That's interesting you say that. You know, Pastor, with as I counsel through my nonprofit organization, working with families, that's our whole mission is to build families and communities. It's always very, well, I guess it never ceases to amaze me how we have a lot of single-parent moms. They're working hard, doing the very best they could, oftentimes with limited resources. And they have a male child, right? Because of this breakup, makeup mentality, somehow mom has decided that she's going to put the young man's father or dad out of sight and out of mind. Okay, that may work for you. But the older that boy becomes, the more the question develops in his mind, who is the other part of me? And when you suggest that he ain't got no daddy, he don't exist, he ain't, you know, you understand what I'm saying? You're telling the young man that a part of me is lost and gone. Part of his frustration stems from that desire to know the truth about from whence he comes and how does he use that to determine which way to go. But when we got together, they weren't thinking about it. A lot of times it was from a physical standpoint, you see. I like you.
Oh, yeah.
I like you. What do you like about him? What do you like about him? You got married people now, Pastor, who get caught up in that same game. They get under the right conditions around the right people, and before they know it, they think they like something else about somebody, and they done committed the rest of their life to someone else already. Help us, Holy Ghost. But these things unconsciously take place, right? To where if you're not conscious of them and if you're not being aware and you're not keeping yourself abreast, this is why it's important to pray and to seek God's guidance every day, you understand? Because the enemy will play these little, small, simple games. It could be at work. It could be at work. There's nothing wrong with you having a professional relationship with your coworkers, right? But if you're spending more than 40 hours or even 40 hours a week with around the same people, all the same person all day, and you're having that close interaction with one another, some kind of bond is going to establish that. That's what we were talking about, the emotional bond and connection, right? And you're not getting that same conversation from your spouse. We got a problem now. We got ourselves a problem. What are we going to do? Do you leave the job? Well, the truth of the matter is, it's important that husband and wife in relation in a healthy relationship, that you have a dialogue with God and a dialogue with one another. And that helps you keep the enemy from slipping in and causing mayhem in your relationship.
Yeah, because if you don't know God, man, let me tell you, I just see it. The power of what the enemy does, that's what he comes to do. And
that's
you made
job.
It plain. Yes, you know, I mean, you get married, you know, you say I do, and you do all those things. I think that's what they did back then, you know, when they went and they presented themselves, they went through the process, and let it be known, you know, they've done all of that. And still end up, when they get to the part where it's, when it says, what God put together. Now, at that point right there, I think all the marriages, everybody that get married is going to stay married because God put it together. You know, that's I would automatically have. And now that I have learned, my goodness, why so many people? Why did it happen? Why? I mean, it's just so many got divorced. Why? What went on? Did they actually do it through the power of God, or did they just get married? You know, it was just one of those things. And so, you know, it's kind of strange how cast to me, man. It kind of hit me pretty hard when I discovered and found out, man. It weakened me years later when I found out the true standard of when it said, what God joined together, no man put us under. I was like, man.
That'll appreciate
that, but. What happened?
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I'm at with it, man. Apparently, maybe God didn't put them together. I don't know, man.
Look, bro, for
you,
somebody
go ahead.
Hey, somebody will argue that love, it was love. I love you.
Yeah.
Now, that's a very important lesson. That's a very important lesson from 40-some years ago. And I believe you gentlemen may be able to identify with it. The spinner said, well, I can't say it like they can. Let me let them say it for themselves. I ain't going to try to speak to them. But understand one thing, that it takes a fool to learn certain lessons.
Yeah.
Can I ask one of y'all a question? Somebody please answer this for me and explain it to me like I'm 3 years old. He said sometime a girl would come and go. Where's she going? Why is she so transient? Why she won't sit down? What's up? Somebody explain it to me. Go ahead, Al.
Okay. Basically because her mind is not made up. You know, she's looking at you. She want to talk to you. She want to talk to him. And she's not ready to settle down. You know, I listen, you know, concerning relationships and things of that nature. For number one, I had an older brother. And, you know, he got married, you know, had children, mm-hmm. you know. Him and his wife separated. And child mm-hmm. support came in. I remember I was 18 years old, you know. Phone rang one morning. For juvenile court. You know, and they asked me, well, was my brother? You know, I said, he's not here. They said, well, you know, tell him if he don't have this X amount of dollars, we're going to lock him up. And unfortunately, I had the money myself. See, I learned through him, like you said, be careful. You mentioned the typical things about people, how they look, how short they are, how tall they are, how muscular they are, and things in that nature. See, this is why so many marriages in the long run are broken up. And also, I would add that out of the two people, between that male and that female, one of them have mental issues, you know, like it's been said. First you love me, then you hate me, you know what I'm saying? You know, break up to make up. You know, I mean, you know, there's a mental issue going on with one of the two.
That's right, bro.
And unfortunately, you know, I learned from my older brother, and I learned to be careful, you know, especially procreating, making babies.
Mm-hmm.
I did not just want to give any female a child.
Wow.
I was successful on that, you know. I never paid child support. I had children by two different women. I always took care of my children. Even though, you know, me and the females, you know, we split up or whatever, you know, I never entered their lives in a sexual manner or anything in that nature. You know, I was always respectful when I went to get my children or whatever. You know, I never entered the house. I would drive up and I would park, blow, they come out. Me and the female had nothing to talk about because I didn't want to give those men the wrong understanding. But this is, like you stated earlier, Reverend Dockery, the typical things, of why so many marriages fail, you know.
Right.
You know, like nowadays, you know, young girls, you know, they want them a dope dealer or they want a light-skinned dude with long dreadlocks or a dog. These are the things, even in our time, Reverend Doctor, the same thing went on. A lot of these women, all they wanted was a light-skinned dude, you know. They didn't want a dog, a dog person. You know, like myself, I'm not black, but, you know, I am a dark, you know, a darker complexion, you know, over light. But that's the thing. You know, I've been involved with a lot of females. And going back to what you're saying, even the spells, look, hey, if I start talking to a female, okay, you okay today? You not all right tomorrow? Bye-bye. I tell them like this right here. See the back of these shoes? It's the last you'll see of me.
Don't say it like that. Don't say it like that. Well, now, y'all help me with this. If I'm speaking to a young man who is, you know, in that dating age, as they say, what do I advise him in terms of what kind of conversation, what kind of mindset should you bring to interacting with a female? You're 18 years old. You know, should he just give in to his volition, to those things, the little nice things, the things that make him feel good, that look good, that allows his imagination to run away with him? Or, I mean, what do we tell him?
No. You know, don't give in to these things. Sit, take your time, and fill a person out. Get to know a person, you know, before you lie with them or anything in that nature. That's the best thing to do. Wait it out. Be around this person. Get to learn this person, you know, emotionally, you know, get in, you know, see what's going on upstairs first, you know,
right?
And if they exhibit those behaviors, you know, in that nature, you know, you got a failure there, move on, you know,
you said,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I apologize. you said something that was key when you talked about just laying down with anybody and making babies. Now, it's important that as you're dating someone or you're courting them, you're not trying to get in their underwear. That shouldn't be the motive. It should be to find out who they are, what their family history is, because you may not know that you're sleeping with someone who has a genetic code of mental health or mental illnesses that can be passed down from one generation to the other. But if you just hitting and quitting, you understand what I'm saying? You know, you're just having fun and getting it on, then that's a problem. Again,
right.
What people say, that's my business. And I, you know, if I don't want to be with that female, I want to be with that female I can, or vice versa. Well, at the end of the day,
right.
When children, society has to try to become a parent. That's what the juvenile court is defined as. A juvenile court is a legal paternal body, and paternal has to do with the father. The assumption is,
right.
Somewhere, a child was brought in the world illegitimately as a bastard and had no father. So the court steps in to make major decisions for him to help the mom out. You know?
Right.
Again, we're talking about the devastating effects on this mentality that caused people to get together. We're playing a love game, see? The reasons that we're here. Dude said, look, that's not playing no game. We're here because we want to get it on.
Right.
That's
yeah.
All we're honest about. Huh?
That's it. Bottom line.
That's what he said. Let's not make up no excuse why we're here. We're here because we're trying to get our freak on. Is that all right, Charles? Can I talk like that, Charles?
I mean, having that free will, you say what you want, but I know the word says you're trying to wife is trying a good thing, but hey, I'm 35, man. I ain't trying a good one yet. I've been looking down low out here, man. I ain't giving a shit. I just know it's a mindset, but hey. I didn't speak on this matter because hey, I'm still looking for my wife.
Well, okay, yeah. All right. That's fair enough. But you
yeah,
know what, y'all? Culturally, we, and I'm talking about Afro-American people now, and I'm not suggesting that it's a sin or you couldn't or shouldn't go outside of that context as well. But there is this thing where when boys and girls grow up, they should aspire to become something. They should aspire to build family, and that family build the community. That community build the society, you know, the subcultural context. But unfortunately, we're not teaching our children that enough. Our children are not getting those lessons. In fact, what's happening now is little girls tend to be raised in this generation to compete with boys. You can do what they're doing better. Well, when do you start looking at her as someone that will be a spouse, a helpmate, a soulmate, if she's a competitor? Somebody help me with that right quick.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It's at all, you know, and I'll expound on that with this statement. You have a lot of these young females can't cook, mm-hmm. can't clean,
right.
can't wash,
right.
can't do anything. But yet and still, they'll say, well, I want a husband. No, what you need to do is you need to get you a mom to teach you how to be a wife, first off.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to my last statement, I'm glad you brought up the point concerning it may be some mental disability down in the family. Reverend Dockery, you have a lot of guys knowing that these women are slow, you know, probably
right.
got an IQ, you know, IQ of 50 or 40,
sure.
and they lie down and have multiple
right.
babies down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, you
multiple
own
babies.
Now.
Multiple
That's
babies.
It.
You know?
And you wonder why is it that you keep going back making babies with different kinds, with different guys? It's
yeah.
because
yeah.
there's something. There's a developmental issue there oftentimes. Now, we're not clinicians. We're not trying to be clinicians tonight,
mental health
clinicians. But clearly, there's something going on, some emotional issue going on, right?
Right.
And these are good people. We're certainly not saying this tonight to down them. But we're trying we're trying to explain the nature of the problem within these relationships that leads to the outcome that we see. See, go ahead.
Okay, I'm awake. Go ahead.
Did you say you had a question?
Yeah, I want to know like what happens when the baby get here. Then it's like the relationship kind of changes a little bit. I think the baby comes to top priority. I think that kind of ruins a lot of relationships too. When you meet a woman, y'all both don't have no kids. Y'all planning on having kids together one day. You know, y'all be with kids. Now you become second in the life, which is understood. The baby should be first, but it's a dramatic change in the household, which causes problems too.
Absolutely.
We lose his grinder.
Right.
You know, lose his grinder
so
going back to.
Go ahead. Okay.
Okay. It went back to what you stated earlier, Reverend Doctor. The typical features. You know, yeah, when the baby come in and things in that nature, you know, after one has conquered, one actually wants to move on. You know, you know, us being, we're conquerors, you know.
Okay.
First off, that the man probably, you know, he had made up his mind that this is where he actually wanted to be. He wanted to sow oak somewhere else. You know, that's underlining on that, going back to what you stated earlier, Reverend Doctor, too, that the typical features that's the problem, I hope.
Yeah. And what happens is, Brother Charles, I'm not sure that young people in particular, and we were all young once ourselves, really understand their physiology and their psychological drive. Subconsciously, when you start hooking up with people, there's nothing wrong with being attracted to a female. You understand what I'm saying? But somewhere, if you're properly raised and trained, you understand that you're not just a wild animal, a dog in the street. You control your emotion, you control your volition, and you think about the end game. That was your point, Charles. You got the baby now. Now all of a sudden our relationship changed because neither one of us really want to focus on the baby. We want to focus on what we wanted for ourselves. Well, that baby needs parents. That baby needs a parent. In fact, needs two parents. But this is something unfortunate that society has got. Go ahead, Charles. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, even though it might not be just a direct, it might not be just your baby. Like, even if you date somebody with kids, it's like, you really can't date that person because they got kids. It kind of sucks. Cause I know a lot of women my age got kids, and it's kind of like, I understand your child got to be first, but you never can get that bond you want to be with that. You know, you want to have that person just for the fact they got kids. And it's like, I don't know. It's kind of tough on somebody with kids out here. I understand you got two kids, baby. Same time, I got needs, too.
Well, here's the deal. If I'm a man, a young man, who's coming into what's called a ready-made family situation, in other words, she got children already, whether I do or I don't, you have to realize that in order for you to love her, you got to love her children. And can I say something, gentlemen? In part, you have to love some of those children, daddy.
Not me. Not I. Never.
This is Talk Straight. This is Talk Straight, gentlemen. This is Talk Straight. You're gonna have to have some respect or appreciation for the fact that before you got there, she made these children with this young. That don't mean you can't love the children like they're young. I'm not suggesting that you can't be a successful surrogate father. But a lot of guys have a hard time, Charles, getting over that thought. Man, it's somebody else's. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, because they put the responsibility on you as if you got to do it now. Like, I don't have to do it. I do it if I got time or whatever, it's convenient. But I'm not going to take on your whole responsibility of your ex-baby daddy's responsibility. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I mean, you know, we don't want the children to become the victims. And the thing is that as young people are coming up now, it's very important that this become a basis of instruction in our homes, in our churches, in our neighborhood, because we can break this cycle. Now, what we've done already to mess up is one thing, but we ain't got to keep the cycle going. you know, we can break that cycle. So, look like I lost Pastor Waller there. I don't know what happened. We'll try to get him back here. But yeah, so let me tell you what Girl Betty Wright said. She
clean that woman.
Yes.
Clean woman too. You know I know.
These are lessons. What Betty Wright says is that you can mess up if you want to, but one man's heaven is another man's hell. You throw it out for the gospel, he's going to find some use for it, and it's going to be a treasure to him. You understand? Let's just check just for a second. And let's put Betty Wright. To talk straight. Tonight we're talking from the topic, We Break Up to Make Up, Examination of Male-Female Relationship. Now, somebody might argue, y'all just talking about black people. No, this happens with white people as well.
All races of people.
That's right. The truth of the matter is society has created economic and even sometimes emotional instigations that make it difficult. Now, this seems to multiply itself when it comes to black folk, though. See, when it comes to being able to have a healthy communication, trust as the basis of a family structure, we have a problem with that. Pastor Waller, help me with that.
Man, I'm looking at the whole situation, man. I'm thinking about the lack of knowledge, you know, and how it says, my perish for the lack of knowledge. Man, if we knew, and I'm just saying I say we, because I definitely didn't know no better.
We all in it. That's right.
Yeah, and so when I break it all the way down and say, man, only if I had known God with the way that I went about dealing with the women in my life, man, and it wasn't that I was trying to make a baby or not. That wasn't even it. But I wasn't even thinking. When you're getting ready to, you might end up, you get pregnant. I wasn't thinking nothing like that. I wasn't trying to get a pregnant. I just was told that I'm pregnant. And it's your baby. And I look at it, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
Now, I believe it's mine still, even when she told me it was mine. So that insane thinking, you know, that insane thinking right there automatically say I wasn't trying to make no baby. Because I'm already saying a man as if, in other words, she may be seeing somebody else. I mean, that type of thought. You're probably just seeing me, man. Said it was my baby, meaning that you know. But it was because of my come up, and I used to hear people say it is the mama's baby.
And what they say,
I didn't have nothing against the woman. I was just going on what you're saying.
That's
you know,
what they
say. So, you know, even though she was all about me, about me, I'm sitting there thinking that I don't know if it's mine or not. You say it's mine, okay, but I don't know if it's mine or not. That's the mentality that I had. And then it took somebody that maybe looked just like your mama. That baby that had an edit, and I'm thinking, man, all that kind of stuff. It was terrible, man. It was terrible to me. It was terrible, man, for real. And I went back and I asked them women to forgive me, man. I was so out of line, you know. And the second one, that I had, you understand, the baby ended up looking like the other one. And they from two
right.
different people. But I still didn't believe that was mine. And then this last one, I brought up myself, which was the third one I had. I brought her up myself. You understand? Now, she gave it to me. She brought it to me, and she said, she'll be better off with you than she will with me. So, in other words, she said it was mine and gave it to me.
Right.
So, you know, and I'm saying all that to say, man, it is a sad situation when you don't know God.
Absolutely.
But I just say, if we all knew God, and get to that part where it says, what God joined together. See, if God joined these men together, man, you know, ain't nobody going to be able to separate. I don't care what's going on. They don't have that kind of power to do that when you really know God. So some people may thought they knew God. I don't know how that went. But I'm just still wondering why so many separations, why so many divorces. And I simply sum it up by saying either the enemy got the power to do all that he can do to cause divorce to take place, you understand? Or the people just didn't know God.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, it's amazing,
I got a question for you all. Now, I'm on metal here, but this is Talk Straight, so that's okay. We're in our wheelhouse right now. When should a male or a female engage in sexual intimacy or behavior? Wait for it.
Say that again.
When should a male or a female engage in sexual intimacy or behavior?
According to, based on what you know concerning the order, if it's something like that you know, if you know God, I mean, of course, I would be the first to say, you wait until marriage. But not knowing God, man, as soon as you see that fine young thing, you know, and the thoughts are there, it's just about whatever it takes, whether it's today, next week, next month, next year, the person's mind is stayed right there if that's what he's after or if that's what she's after. You see what I'm saying? When you don't know God, man, it's just like, go for what you know. You see?
Yeah,
that's right.
And I mean, respectfully, you know, that's just the way it is. It's designed. When you don't know God, you do things according to that you don't know. And that's just
some
the way it
is. You know what, Pastor Waller, growing up in the streets, one of the greatest assets you can have is a Mac game. Charles, you know what a Mac game is.
Oh, man, it's amazing. Yes, sir. I heard about it.
What'd you say, Charles?
I'm listening. I'm trying to hear about it, too.
So outside of carrying protection, a gun or a knife, you got to have a Mac game. You understand? And the Mac game allows you to walk up in the party, on the street, on the block, and be able to command the presence and the attention of females anywhere if you got that Mac game. And while you're there, you might as well go on down through that way. See? This is the mentality. I'm trying to give you the mentality right now.
Yeah, keeping it real and be honest. That's just it.
The only thing that the Mac game doesn't do for you is prepare you to responsibly procreate life and to continue God's cycle of creation. That's the only thing the Mac game don't do.
I
studied that thing anthropologically, gentlemen, and I asked myself, is this something that is taught from a textbook in a structured learning environment? No, it ain't taught like that, but it's picked up. Just like you know, after you get potty trained, you know how to go find a bathroom anyway.
Right.
Go ahead, brother.
The gift of gab. Talking about anything I want.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I go back to
what I was talking about in the monologue. Cats know that if I can razzle and dazzle a female with my story about what I done been through, and how many of y'all know most of it is a lie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anything she want to hear.
He just got a good imagination, that's all, to make it sound good.
Yeah.
I wonder how people can do it, man. I guess it really is
hey,
a gift, because I can't do it, man. It's hard to do.
I'm sorry, hold on 1 second there. Okay, what you say, Charles?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how people do it, man. I don't feel confident in telling the stories like they like gotta keep it straight though, man. But that's probably why I'm missing out too, man. That's probably why I'm missing out. I get my Mac game up. So.
Don't tell on yourself, Charles. Don't tell on yourself.
Yeah, man.
Wow,
bring
go
back
ahead,
memories that. Now. Mm. But, hey, one of my favorite lines was this. Let me give you one of my favorite lines. I said, girl, I said, you know what? You find how I pull a star from the sky and make the moon wave by back.
Help him hold it. Help him hold it.
I don't do that no more, though.
Yeah,
I don't do it
anymore. I'm going to say, hey, Outkast, confession is good for the soul. I've been known to tell this for a time or two. Did it hurt? What?
Yeah.
When you fell from heaven, because confession is good for the soul, brother.
Yeah, man. Okay. No.
Got that bad guy.
Hey. We got another 27 minutes. If you are a lady and you're listening to our conversation tonight, I want you to know you're welcome to come and share with us your perspective. Fact that might help us to fine-tune this thing. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. If you're checking us out from Facebook, you're tipping in from Twitter or from the Blog Talk platform, just give us a holler. No questions asked. Just shoot it to us, and you know what I mean? You give it what you got, and we'll leave it right there. We'll leave it right there. But,
hey,
so,
Pastor Doctor, go ahead.
Yes,
go
sir.
Ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was asking, man, can I make this confession right here? And, because when you started out, man, you know, I already knew it was going to break me down even more when I look at the whole situation. So I just said, well, let me go ahead right now where I got opportunity, man, if it's all right to do so.
Go ahead.
And I see how we were recording about the lines and everything that we have. So I ain't going to even tap on my lines. I'm just going to come into my confession.
Okay.
Because you all did a good job already on that, man. I really like and appreciate that, too. But listen to this, man. In my book, man, on page 65, right?
Okay.
It says in the second paragraph, in the second or third paragraph, it says, I am happy to say that I have had the opportunity to speak with several women from my
pain,
now that I have given for God, and I have asked for their forgiveness,
even though
I have a deep sense of sadness just thinking about how I treated them, I feel to know that they have forgiven me. But watch this part here. Today, my view on the importance of a woman and the respect she deserves from a man is at a new level of understanding.
Wow.
She is a gift from God. And she was never intended to be misused or abused, especially by me.
My Lord.
She realized now that to receive love from a woman is a special privilege that should be cherished and honored at all times.
At all.
Good God.
At all.
Man, I'm a special privilege, man, that should be cherished and honored at all times. So when I spoke to those women, man, you know, they forgave me. And my view of them today, man, is at a brand new level. So I had to give them this prop, man. I don't even see how they forgave me. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, it's the beauty of it is that I was ignorant and didn't know no better. And so that's why I know today that I haven't received the power that I'm expecting in time, you know, for living nothing happens, that I would soon one day be married. But right now, man, I see why that I didn't get a chance to be married early. I didn't know nothing about how to treat no woman, you know.
I see.
But today, see, I found out some things. You understand that I didn't know. You know how it goes when you say, I know now what I didn't know then. You know?
Right.
That's what I said, man. They should never be disrespected by me. Never in life again. So that's where I'm at with them. So
well, you know what?
You prompted me, sir.
You prompted me to give an all-out apology on behalf of all brothers to sisters.
Yeah,
now,
man.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
And I got some of my own blood sisters now. They got to learn how to be in order. Uh-oh. Wait a minute, man. Did he say a woman got to be in order? That's what I just said. I'm talking straight to you now.
Yeah, she deserves
see,
that.
Man got to be in order, and woman got to be in order. That's the only way God is going to be allow us to be fruitful with one another.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
Now, so I'm gonna speak on behalf of all brothers and say, sisters, I apologize.
Bless
we apologize.
God.
We apologize.
That's right.
Sorry. Sorry for what you said.
Yeah. Man.
Now,
yes, brother.
This is October 5th, 2017. Let's move forward. How can we keep from breaking up just so we can make up, make more babies, and have no more commitments? That's where we are right now. See, that's where we are.
Yes,
and questions that I posed in the Facebook group is this. What impact does the separation of grown adults or even teenagers who procreate life have on the children that result from their action? And here's the answer right here. If you show me a child that is at risk to dying in the streets, fighting with himself or somebody else in the streets, winding up in incarceration in the jail, in the juvenile detention or adult detention, or just social extinction, going crazy, I'll show you a child that's been affected by somebody who got together, made that child, and did not make sure that child was raised up in the fear and admiration of the Lord. Now, I know that's tight. I know that's tight, but you're right.
It is. Most definitely.
You know, we've got to break this cycle, man. When I think about the young ladies and the young men that are struggling today to find themselves, to find an identity, I think they really want outcasts. I really think they want to be happy, and they want to have healthy relationships. I really believe that. But nobody's teaching them that, okay?
No.
In fact,
no.
It has become politically incorrect to teach that. I'm sorry, somebody's going to say something.
I heard.
Charles. Brother Charles.
I'm here.
You there, Brother Charles? Okay, is there any hope for us, man? Is there any hope for us?
Oh, man. I'm always saying it's hope. But it's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of compromise. We got to sit down and think, what are we trying to get out of life together? I mean, what are we trying to accomplish? I'm not trying to be your probation officer. I don't want you to be my probation officer. It should be us against the world, man. It shouldn't be me against the world. Then when I get home, me against you. It's too much going on like that. But once we figure that out and figure out what we really want out of life, I mean, there ain't no rules to how you got to live within your marriage as far as y'all, you know. Y'all can still have a good time, go out with your friends and still maintain a healthy, you know, marriage. You know, you got to be a little bit more open-minded. You know, we're not in jail together. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing.
Absolutely.
It's still a good thing. It's still a bad thing. It's not, you know, have fun with it.
Right. Right. That's amazing that you say that, because that's where some people see it as. When I get married, I'm in jail. I'm in bondage.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, people joke about that.
That's your wife first, huh?
Here's the thing. God created you male and female so that at some point, you can be completed. Uh-oh. That's Wallace. Walk with me now.
That's it.
Let us make man in our likeness and after our what? Image.
him, man. You know, and that's it. That completes it. You know, that settles it right there. You know.
Right.
You know, getting to know God would be a beautiful thing, I think. You know, it would be nice, man.
It is. And this is what the text meant when it said, in Mark, when it said, so what God has put together, let no man pull asunder. If God is in the middle, let me offer this for our listening audience consideration. What marriage is. I think some people are under the misconception that when I get married, I'm making a vow to you and you're making a vow to me. Here's the problem with that. Consider that when Adam was created, Eve wasn't nowhere around. So she could not have known how to understand what was in Adam. And when Eve was extracted from Adam, he was in the unconscious state. So there's some things he didn't understand about her that God saw that he put in her. Are y'all walking with me? Now, that means that both of them need to make sure that through a prayer pattern in life and communication with the Creator, that they're able to answer the questions about one another that they could not know. That means you got to be that. Watch it. Say it again, Pastor.
Yeah, through prayer. You know, that's divine connection.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is what Jesus was talking about. When he said what God has put together. See, I wonder sometimes the people that come out and say I'm married. What is your marriage based on? A piece of paper or a principal idea?
Yep. But they quickly go sign the paper.
Yeah,
say this is it. We sign the paper and it's done. Man, the enemy. Go ahead, Pastor.
No,
go ahead. The tradition is so powerful. Yeah, go ahead, brother. Charles, go ahead.
You said Charles?
Yeah. Were you going to say something?
I'm listening because I already know that's off the wall. I was about to say. I'm about to ask, is it biblical to sign those papers?
The question may help somebody else, Charles. Go ahead and pose it.
Like, in order to be married, I know statewide, is it biblical to be marriage on paper, or is that something man created?
It's something man created. I can answer that for you right quick.
That's what kind of make you feel locked in. If it wasn't for signing that paper, you wouldn't be so uptight about what's going on in a relationship. When you get locked in on that paper, it makes you view the situation different. Now, like, now I got to sign this paper. I want everything you said you're going to be in life. Right. My wife, it makes you view the situation different because it's like a contract. I could have signed this with anybody. So it makes you sick. It gives you a high expectation of a person, man.
Yeah, it's a trap, man. It's another form of a trap, a legal trap. That's where many people see that. Now, there's one blues writer said it's cheaper to keep her. See, because she got she got papers on her, you understand?
Yeah, man. That's what he said in his song.
That's right.
Sure enough.
That's right.
Man.
We're still talking about we break up to make up, examination of male-female relationship. And the points that I hope we're driving home here is that these are some of the nuances or some of the mistakes that have been made from one generation to the next. If we break this cycle by understanding what the truth is and what's proper, decent, and order, we can in this idea where young ladies are now saying, I don't ever want to get married. I don't need no man. I can just, other than give me a baby. And I can go to a bank now, a sperm bank, and get that. That's a dangerous precedent. It's a very dangerous precedent. And you got young brothers running around, Charles, trying to figure out what to do with themselves because there ain't no women out there. That's what they feel anyway.
No, I couldn't.
But I read, Pastor, I believe it was in Titus, where in Timothy's as well, where he was told where the older men were told to teach the young men. Red and the kicks. Older women.
That's right. That's right. That's what it says.
Can I get a witness? And
that's
the
what
older
the word
women teach the young women.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And look, when you get all the way down to the end of the text there, what you'll find, it says that we don't, I'm paraphrasing, we don't want to reverse these things, otherwise we will blaspheme the word of God.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
If we change this order, if we change this order, if man changes this order, we're blaspheming the word of God. We're making it a lie and of none effect.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
No, no sir. That's what man's institution has
been. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what has happened within our subcultural context is that these abnormal things have become normal. So now there's a generation don't understand what we're talking about. That seems abnormal to them. That seems unusual to them. That you be with one person for the rest of your life, that you commit yourself, that you make sacrifices for your children, for your family. What? Where are you going at it? Where are you going at it?
Oh, man.
Just what?
Goodness.
Yeah, you know what women say? Well, a good man going to take care of his woman. But they don't understand the setup in life, though, man. It's like, I hear that, and they hit you with scriptures, too. Good man will leave inheritance for his kids, and all that stuff. I'm like, living in reality, though, real life. I'm a black man in the United States. A black man. First off, realize that. I mean, once they get their mind on stuff, I don't think they say stuff they know. I mean, they hear it in church. They come home and want to speak it. But same time, they ain't giving no thought in the reality of the world we live in. So it don't match. You know what I'm saying? But I feel the scripture they hit you with. I do understand that scripture well. But same time, in reality, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I'm trying to work my way up.
Wow.
I'm the most hated thing out here.
You feel like
that. And be my partner here and help me get through this struggle. That's all I need.
Say that one more time. Say that one more time.
Help me get through this story. I don't need nobody telling me where I stand. I know where I am. I was brought up here for a reason. Help me in this situation. We both being together. We'll be all right. But I can't get a lot of that from these females. It's too real for them. They don't see it like that. They still caught up on love and hip hop and all that stuff. So they want to act like them type of girl. But they get paid to do that. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right. That's right. And they get paid to act. You know, y'all, what I try to emphasize with my son anyway, and that is, son, if you ever get to a point where you find a young lady that you wanna spend your life with, you got to be honest with her and tell her just like this. That's why I may not be able to offer you nothing but peanut butter and jelly between two slices of bread, but if we can. Happy eating that together, then we can, let's do something.
You can handle it then, brother. I'll tell you.
Huh?
Yeah, you can handle it then from the bottom to the top.
Yes, sir. And sometimes you may run out of peanut butter or jelly.
whatever the case is, we can handle it.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah, but whatever the case is, you can handle it together, though. That's basically what you're saying.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. And if you can't agree on that, ain't no need to, ain't no need to kissing or tucking or hugging or nothing of that stuff. Leave alone. Let keep on. What Isaac Hayes say, if you see me walking down the street and I start to cry, walk on by. Just walk on by.
Well, them songs,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But Charles, there's another song by a group, I'm trying to remember his name. It says simply, "I'm your puppet." I believe that's where a lot of people have been socially constructed to behave like puppets. You understand what I'm saying? They're not walking as, but they just being somebody's puppet in a relationship. That's unhealthy.
Yeah, it is.
Because one day you're going to wake up and Pinocchio going to realize, hey, I'm a real man.
No more.
Pinocchio going to say, I'm a real man now.
Yeah, it used to be.
But then I feel like both sides want to be independent. Well, how do you make a relationship with somebody? If you're independent, she's independent, y'all come together. It's kind of hard,
that's
ain't
just it? No, well, no, it's not hard. If that's what you are coming together for, to be one. See, you shouldn't even be, ain't no need of you trying to share, cohabitate one another if you're not willing to say that we're no more two. We're striving to be no more two but one. Now, if you want to be independent and do your thing, go and do that. Just don't play games with yourself. What it's really all about, Charles, is somebody trying to get their freak on. Hello. I mean, can I talk straight tonight? And sometimes they want to lie on God to get their freak on.
Yeah.
It has been proven.
It happens all the time.
And
we have a tendency to talk about people in the world, but I'm talking about folk in church now, lying on God and using that as an excuse to get their freak on.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? We were going to say, but same time, that is real, though. Yeah. That's real.
You see, if a man...
Is it wrong to be married just from that point of view? Like, say a couple, they get married just because they don't want to commit to living sin. You say that's wrong just based off those principles?
When you look at the motive of their heart and their getting together, you're messing up. You say you want to avoid messing up one way, but you mess up another way. Your whole motive is wrong. And see, that's what God is not going to bless, is mess.
I agree.
You know, Paul said marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled.
Mm-hmm. You know? What is it?
If you're not willing to be obedient first to Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, I mean, quit playing with yourself. Too many people play with themselves.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Then we find ourselves. Go ahead,
Pastor. No, I say mad deep. I know that. Just the mentioning of it.
It's not a toy, Pastor. See what I'm saying? Yeah. It's nothing to be played with. You know? It is for grown people. It ain't for children. It's for grown folks.
Yeah.
You know what? When I was going to church, you know, I remember somebody telling me that, you know, you can't just have a girlfriend. Y'all need to get married because it won't be right.
Right.
But that's... Right, wow, that's kind of pressing it. No, that's pressing the issue to break up then because we're not that close yet.
You're setting them up for failure, ain't you?
I mean, on my end, I'm not going to get married just based off of the plea at the third time. I got to please myself. You know what I mean? I got to be pleased in front of me and God. I can't just satisfy y'all want to see me be married. I can't do it like that because, I mean, y'all going to sit there and be the same one watching me get divorced and say the same stuff. I know it wasn't going to work.
Right.
I mean, what's the point of getting married? From that perspective, on just on that strength.
Right. And you made a good point, y'all. You know you're setting yourself up for failure when you know that your heart ain't right from the get go. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Your motives wasn't right in the first place. What you're really trying to do is hook up so you can have some fun.
I mean, because we don't know each other long enough. I mean, I don't know how long it takes to actually get to know another person, but if you haven't reached that level yet, it can be 5 years, you still might not feel like you know that person well enough to make that type of commitment.
Sure.
Right. And then you can be really actually, like I experienced the other day, I met this guy because I found out that they were married. And so I went up to him, and it was about a week ago, and I asked him, I said, how long have you been married? 54 years. I said, man.
Wow.
I said, man, that's awesome. You know, that's what I told him. And then when I looked over there at her and she explained to me, you know, how the two of them got together. And he said, we only dated for 8 months. We married when we was 8 months. I mean, that's when they after being in a relationship for 8 months, they got married and been married for 54 years. So, you know, when you're genuine and it's God, that's when it works.
Right.
And that's what I see. Yep.
That's it.
Sure did.
That's it.
Man,
that's it.
54 years left. Man, amazing.
We got about 3 minutes, but can you imagine what would happen if more people like these people you met today, you were talking to, would come and sit down with these babies and explain to them? It's not going to always be peaches and cream. Everything ain't gonna be like you want it all the time.
Right.
If you're willing to put some work in, if you're willing to put a little bit of work in, you can get that. Wow, man, look at the time. Look at the time. Charles, you done taught me something tonight, man.
Man, tell me what for?
Well, I've been going on.
I say a lot of stuff, man, but I just kind of how I see it. It's rough.
It is. And I think that there are a lot of people, I know that there are a lot of people who are thinking these things. They're just afraid to verbalize them because ain't nobody talking about them. Ain't nobody else saying it. And they're afraid to be the first one to say it. So, but we got to get out of that, too. Got to get out of it, too. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Listen, this has been Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We'll be back next Tuesday. We'll be back next Tuesday night. We hope to have a doctor on who's going to talk about mental health issues. And how we can help get through some of those things. But listen, www.bfcinstitute.com. Check us out. Support our calls, and we'll be back. Brother Charles, thank you. Pastor Waller, as always, thank you. Brother Outcast, we lost him there a little early, but we appreciate him as well. And we're going to come back next Tuesday and try to make some matter, talk about mental health issues there in the African-American community. But we appreciate you, brother, and we're going to leave with a little bit of this from Mary J. Blige. Each tear, there is a lesson for us to learn.